Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today in the extra hour. Joining us in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day.
Oh, my goodness, we just talked about failure is not final. Good day, mate. It's not final in God. We're talking about praying for Israel as Syria becomes more and more chaotic.
Yeah.
Pray.
A trembling cup.
A trembling cup. We have so much more to share with you today. A Bible study in Pennsylvania, on fire for God. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, we're talking about failure's not final, and Tony Dungy. You know, Tony Dungy has now retired, former Super Bowl champion, head football coach of the Colts. He has retired, and he actually has a ministry for troubled youth, and his organization is All Pro Dad. All Pro Dad. And this is really an amazing, successful in one area, successful in another. Listen, if you have God in your life, he's going to direct you in what he wants you to do, because it's all about glorifying God. You may be working one place here today. You may be working another place there. You may wear this hat tomorrow. It doesn't matter what hat you wear or what the Lord will have you to do, you know, what position you're in. It's all about what the Lord will have you to do. It's about glorifying him wherever you're at. But we're going to have this related for you here on The Torch, and you're going to be able to see Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad. He has all sorts of mentoring articles and tools and videos and blogs to equip fathers, to be better fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but he's written a host of books. I mean, he has an All Pro Dad book, 7 Essentials to Be a Hero to Your Kids. He also has Uncommon Life, the playbook for an uncommon life. Quiet Strength, Men's Bible Study.
Wow.
I mean, this is...
That's cool.
He has a children's book, You Can Do It. And he has another book called Uncommon Manhood. I mean...
Wow.
This is so wow. encouraging. And just to see the light shine from just every aspect, every corner... It's not over. It's not over.
He's investing all his talents.
And that's what you have to do. You got to invest all your talents, and you got to lay it all on the field for God. You don't want to bring anything back of your life into the locker room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've only got one life to spend, and you don't want to have any kind of reserve. You know, you want to put it all on the field for the Lord, and you want to do everything that you can do in the time that you have to do it, all for God's glory.
That's right.
All for God's glory. And that just reminds me of these young people, Steve and Pat, in Pennsylvania that are absolutely on fire for God.
That's right.
I mean, you got to listen to this. CBN's reporting what's happening in New Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Listen up.
Imagine a Bible club. A Bible club in a public school that is so popular more than half the students attend its meetings. CBN News first reported on this amazing story taking place in Pennsylvania. That was 2 years ago we told you about it. Well, as Paul Strand tells us, the impact of that Bible club has reached around the world.
Each Monday in the middle of the school day, more than half of Red Bank Valley High's 600 students head the Bible club. That makes it the largest of its kind in the world. They put on an annual open house here in New Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that showcases their wild skits, zany antics, and boisterous worship. It's attracted up to 1,000 people at once. These students carry their Bibles in the hallways, openly share the gospel, and now they're inspiring kids around the country and beyond. CBN News first covered Red Bank's club 2 years ago after a viewer sent an email about its success.
We made that video clip and everything, and we've got all kinds of responses from that.
Bible Club President Doug Gundlach says it kicked off a cavalcade of inquiries and invitations.
That has sparked interest all over the world, really.
They even had to elect their own public relations officer to handle it all.
A lot of things have happened. We've had a lot of outreach projects, as well as people contacting us to see how things are done.
A major spark came from Maggie McCauley's testimony of being just 14 years old at a Bible club meeting where she led some four dozen students to pray for salvation.
Accepting Christ in front of all of their peers during the school day, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
Today, Maggie says it may have been even more than four dozen.
Like, I'm sitting there counting. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. 48 kids. And there could have been more, but I had to quit counting so I could pray.
Treasurer Elena Kunzelman believes their TV story led to a miracle connection.
After we were on 700 Club last time, a club from California, Rosamond High School, they're a Bible club. They got in touch with us, said they saw our interview, which was really cool, I thought. I mean, they're the whole way across the country.
Then the Rosamond students shared that they needed exactly 25 Bibles, and that's exactly what the Red Bank students prayed for.
Not even a week later, someone dropped off 25 Bibles in our office, which was the exact number of Bibles that they needed.
The donor had no idea he was fulfilling to a T the prayer for 25 Bibles.
They were just laying around his office, he said.
Elena keeps the thank you card signed by a couple of dozen grateful Rosamond students who received the Bibles.
I mean, that's definitely a God thing.
After hearing about Red Bank's Bible Club, Travis Deans of Teens for Christ began to spread the word.
A part of my excitement is to share what's happening here with other clubs and just to say, look what God could do in your school.
Dean shared the story on his website, 9monthmissiontrip.com, which is aimed right at kids in school.
We want to challenge students, particularly Christian students, to think of their school as a mission trip, that God has put them there for a purpose and a reason, and God wants to use them to share his love with their friends.
A ministry that wants to assist setting up a network of 30 or 40 Bible clubs throughout New York City schools sent observers to Red Bank.
They wanted to organize a Bible club that would bring in kids from all five boroughs in New York City, and they came to us for help.
And the Red Bankers have become missionaries in their own way.
We went to a youth convention in Denver, and we did a program there.
The club's advisor, teacher Joe Harmon, evangelizes for the club's methods as well, traveling to other Pennsylvania towns when asked.
I asked Joe to come down to the youth group and speak to them, and some of our other youth leaders were there, and it just set the kids on fire.
That's what these Red Bankers want to do everywhere, set students on fire for God, and let them know it's completely constitutional to live out their faith anywhere.
There's no law that says kids can't carry a Bible in school, read in school, pray in school. There's nothing like that.
And Dean says kids have every reason to be proud of their God.
I mean, let's face it, God is cool. I mean, God is awesome.
Many Americans may think that Supreme Court through prayer and the Bible out of public schools back in the 1960s. But as kids here are showing their nation, as long as you're a student, you can have as much prayer, Bible, and God in your school as you want. And it can be pretty cool. Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Red Bank Valley High School.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. This generation may be the answer and the hope of the world. Let's hope so. Mm-hmm. Christy.
I love that, Pat. You know, I was just watching Good Morning America, and they were talking about a story that was foiled of a young teen who was going to go into his high school and do the Columbine. And so oftentimes in the news, that's what we hear about. But isn't it fantastic that on CBN News, we hear wonderful stories of hope and a collection of kids who are praising God? I love it.
That's awesome, you know. So encouraging when you see 600 students at a high school on fire for God.
Powerful.
It's so powerful. I mean, come on now. A 14-year-old girl. A 14-year-old girl leads 48 students to the Lord.
Wow.
I mean, you think back when you went to high school.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Chris is...
Well, some of us.
Well, moving right along. I mean... 48 students.
Yeah. Well, it's powerful, though. It's like, I think about just, like, the journey of, like, however that started. Because so often, I mean, you think about, like, when the idea came to Red Bank or whoever was leading that Bible study, it's just like, you know, is this even going to make a difference? You know, I don't even know if I can affect my school. And not only have they affected Red Bank, but just like the one girl was talking about, there's Bible studies in California. Now there's multiple boroughs in New York City that are reaching out to them, and it's just like, how powerful is the ideas or just reaching out, just being able to just share the gospel with one other person. And what is even encouraging, it's like, if you're in school right now, you're in between classes, you're listening, if you're ministering the gospel to one person, that's powerful, because you never know what God is going to do with that seed.
Absolutely, and I like what one of the guys that they interviewed there, he said, consider your school a 9-month mission trip.
Yeah.
You know, if you have any doubt, if you're a teenager listening to us, and we have a lot of teenagers that listen to VFN Radio, by the way.
We
love all you guys.
Yeah.
That, listen, you can change your world for Jesus Christ. you know, sometimes people get this mindset that, you know, I have to wait till I'm a grown up, or I have to have a certain amount of money, or I have to have a certain amount of education, or I got to know all. Listen, if you know Jesus, you've got everything.
Yeah,
that's right.
You got everything. You can change your school. You can change your neighborhood. You can change your block. You can go after Jesus and say, you know what? Me and Jesus are a majority, and we can share the light.
Yeah.
Be encouraged that a 14-year-old girl led almost half, you know, 48 people.
Yeah.
48 people to the Lord. And now this, what was this, probably a small group, like you said, Steve,
yeah,
now is ministering all the way across to California with 25 Bibles.
Yeah, awesome. And those are just the encounters that we know of.
Exactly. And this is not even their first story. Apparently on CBN, yeah, this has been happening before. But, you know, people are coming to God and they want to see others come to the Lord. But it, mm-hmm, happens when we get out in the front lines. It happens when we share what God's doing in our own personal life with others.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn from these young people. They're bold. They're in their school. Listen, they carry their Bibles in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an adult, you can control where you go, where you work, who do you associate with. But when you're a student, particularly going into a high school, you know what? You're going to sit with a certain group of people. You're going to be in a certain school with certain folks.
Yeah.
And there's no way out of that. I mean, you're in school. This is how you have to. But you know what? It's a mission field.
Yeah.
It's a mission field. And I want to encourage you that this is the day. There is hope arising in America. And I believe that God's going to use the young people like never before. Yeah. You know, we were a part of having Bible clubs and seeing firsthand what God can do in a Bible club, and just seeing students that showed up before, it's all student led, before classrooms, class starts,
mm-hmm,
and they have a Bible study. And it's amazing. I'm thinking of one young man who, at a certain time, he started a movement, if you will, in his high school, where we had this Bible club, and I think it was like 12 noon or something like that. Every day, no matter where he was at,
mm-hmm,
he would kneel down on one knee and pray.
Oh, wow.
It was in the hallway or, you know, what, and they changed the time.
Yeah.
And because he started that, I mean, a whole bunch of other Christian students were doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. They had so many witnessing opportunities, but it takes those that know the Lord to be bold,
yeah,
about who they love. You know, mm-hmm, if God's the lover of your soul, you need to tell somebody.
Shine your light.
You know, if you had a new car, you'd tell me about your car. You know, if you went on vacation, you'd tell us everything about your vacation. But when you know the Lord, you got to let them know. You got to let the world know. How will they know? How will they know if someone doesn't go?
Yep.
How will they know if someone doesn't open their mouths and tell them,
mm-hmm,
that Jesus Christ loves you? Jesus Christ has a plan for your life. Jesus Christ will forgive you of all of your sins. And you can come to him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. And you'll be surprised. A lot of people are waiting just for someone to be bold enough to ask them, or to be loving enough to actually care. And what it takes is for us to get out of our own world and what's going on in our own mind,
right,
and this so-called busyness, to find out how our fellow neighbor's doing, to find out how the person in the checkout stand is doing, or the cashier. How many times we go to the cashier and we don't even say a kind word to the cashier,
mm-hmm,
or say, listen, God loves you, or look for a way or an opportunity that we can introduce the Lord to them. I'll pray for you. And so many times they're just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They're just waiting. And I'll tell you, these young people, they inspire me. They inspire me. And if you're a young person, maybe God's calling you. You know, a roaring fire starts off with a small match.
That's right.
With a small match. Maybe you're the match. Maybe you're the one that's going to start a blaze,
mm-hmm,
a fire,
mm-hmm,
a movement, a revival. Maybe the Great Awakening is going to start with you. But you got to be willing to say, here I am, Lord. Like Isaiah said, send me. Send me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to hear a testimony about a former child actress. I'm talking about youth here.
Yeah.
A former child actress who is pretty famous and who had millions of dollars. And how she found the Lord. I mean, it's a remarkable story and one that will encourage us. But as we're talking about young people and their encounters with God, I want you to hear this now woman's testimony on how she found the Lord.
By about 10 years old, I'd done about 100 television commercials and 35 voiceovers. I sang and danced. I was on Broadway. I had enough money. I can't say I had made, you know, millions of dollars, but I had enough money for a young single girl living in Manhattan to do kind of whatever I wanted to do. Studio 54 days, we're talking clubs and nightclubs. They would usher us in because we were on TV. And, you know, I walked the red carpet. I did all of that stuff. I dated celebrities. But still, there was that void inside of me. I began doing drugs kind of on a regular basis. Eventually, I ended up in two rehabs. The first one, I was still convinced that just because I did drugs, I could still drink. So I had to learn that the hard way and end up in another rehab. I remember that night in the rehab intake room when I said, God, you know, I need you. I had to find out who God was. So I began searching. Buddhism, Taoism, I read all sorts of things, self-help books. But the funny thing is, every time I earnestly prayed, God, you know, I just want to know the truth, a Christian would show up. And I really didn't like Christians very much. I kind of thought they were sort of, I don't know, Bible-thumping, judgmental sort of people. Except I had a problem. My brother had become born again. And I just watched his life change. But he never preached at me. He just lived his life as an example. And one day I was sitting at the table with my brother, and I said, I don't really understand, but I'm a house in the country. I have a great career. I'm dating a rock star, and I'm still not happy. He looked up from his newspaper, and he said, well, maybe you need to get saved. And I looked at him, and I thought about it for a moment, and I said, nah, no. That's not for me. I went to see the movie The Beauty and the Beast. And in that movie, love changes the beast. And I remember thinking about this on the way home, how that sort of touched something in me. And that night, when I got home, I got on my knees and I asked God. I said, God, just, you know, zap me, do whatever you do, but I'm open and I'm willing. When I just basically decided to cross that line and allow Jesus specifically to come into my heart. And in that moment, alone in my bedroom, I just remember that feeling of the peace. When I was on my spiritual quest for truth, I was just looking to fill the void. And I read a lot of things and a lot of different books and a lot of different kinds of religion, but they just didn't, nothing really filled that void in my heart. And that's what I was really looking for. I was looking to find peace and contentment. And there wasn't anything but Christ that offered that to me. Until I found Christ, until I had that experience for myself, it was almost like fitting a round peg in a square hole. I've always had that desire from the day I got saved just to tell people what happened to me and just to explain that, hey, you know, if you have a hole in your heart and you feel the way I do, I know the answer. You know, Christ, Jesus Christ can fill that void for you if you let him, if you surrender.
Powerful testimony. And listen to Lisa Peluso. Lisa Peluso, former child actress, and she did some acting in mm-hmm. her adult life, come to the end of herself and realize, why am I not happy? Why am I not happy? Let me tell you something. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this journey. We're talking about this huge vacuum, this huge hole that is in every man's heart. And if you don't know God, that vacuum and that hole will never, ever go away.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
There's an old song that goes, I did it my way. I faced it all and stood tall and I did it my way. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and while I won't be singing for you today, here's licensed clinical psychologist and mom of four, Debbie Cherry, who has some advice for moms who take those lyrics to heart.
It is mainly that we care so much we want to see it done. That we are passionate and driven and just have this idea that feeding our kids this meal and giving them a bath on this night and doing everything this way is going to make them the best adults someday that they can be. We really do believe that. There is also a component of that, though, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that there is some pride tied to that, an idea that says my way is the right way, and that's just prideful, and that's wrong. My way is not the only way or the right way all the time.
Hear more today from Debbie Cherry about relationships at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain right. this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat and Steve. And we just heard a testimony from Lisa Peluso on how this is a former child actress who came to the Lord, and, you know, she's walked the red carpet. She's had the millions of dollars. She's done the party scene and the drugs and all that type of stuff. And she's asking her brother one day, I'm dating a rock star. Why am I not happy?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not happy?
All right.
What do you say, Pat?
You just need to get saved.
Oh, my goodness. She goes, nah.
Yeah, that can't be it.
That can't be it. That can't be it. That's been told a couple times before, right? So that's yeah. been shared times before.
What's powerful, though, in that is that just during a Disney movie, like she went to see the Beauty and the Beast, and it was the Beast that was changed by love. And so many of us are like just are searching and searching, and we have all these things, and the world offers all these things. It's just like, but do you have love?
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love. Because that's what's going to change you, is when you encounter Christ's love.
All right.
Powerful, isn't it?
Powerful.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's the love of God. the beast was transformed.
Yeah.
You know, when you're searching, God used anything and anyone to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she prayed the powerful prayer that we talked about yesterday, that the single most powerful prayer known to man that God mm-hmm. was guaranteed to answer.
Yeah.
Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me.
Yeah.
And every time she prayed, a Christian would come by.
Yeah.
It was amazing how probably at that time she didn't put it together, but God was hearing her prayers.
God was hearing her prayers.
That's right.
God was hearing her prayers, and that's what's powerful.
Yeah.
Is that when you begin to search and seek and look, God's going to be found.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God's going to be found. But you got to open your heart. You got to say this stuff's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about this gaping hole, this vacuum that she had. She had no peace. And a lot of times people are looking for happiness. And happiness is just something that just happens.
Yeah.
But what you really want is joy.
Temporary, yeah.
Yeah, it's temporary. What you want is joy of the Lord, because it's God that can give you joy mm-hmm. in the midst of some of your greatest trials.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It gives you the grace that you really have, you know, and the peace that passes all understanding, the Word of God says. It transcends all understanding. It rises above your ability to understand and grasp. I'm going through a trial, a circumstance, a bad situation, but for some reason, I'm experiencing a tremendous amount of peace, and it's the only peace that God can provide. I understand why one of his names is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, I've had moments in my life where I didn't know God, and I needed peace so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like, oh my goodness, I just need to land, I need to settle, but you can't settle. You can't settle, you're restless.
Mm-hmm.
Every problem, every agitation, every situation has your stomach. You're in knots all the time.
Yeah.
It's this anxiousness. And once you get over one issue, you think, another one arises, and another one arises, and another one arises, and you can't even sleep. So you're taking sleeping pills to go to bed, you're having coffee to get up, and it's mm-hmm. a continual nightmare. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. But let me tell you, when I found Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and people's encounter, when they find Jesus, listen, it's not that the problems go away. You know, it's not that they disappear. But you know the one who holds everything in his hand.
Right.
He has everything taken care of. And with that, you know, I sleep very good these days. I sleep very good these days. But he's talking about this peace and this hole. And I talk about, it's kind of like having... you go into your bathroom and you can turn on the water in the tub.
Right.
And you can turn that water on full blast and you can let it just run all day and you go to work and come back. That tub is never going to be filled unless there is a plug. And life is so much like that. You can throw drugs at it. You can throw partying at it. You can throw all sorts of fame and dating and this and that. And everything that the world tells you that you're supposed to have to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You've tried it all, but at the end of the day, it leaves you still depressed,
empty.
Still down and out,
right.
Broke, in debt, broken relationships, hurt, and continual letdown, and it just doesn't satisfy.
You're not filled. That's it.
You're not satisfied. Why? Mm-hmm. Because there's only one who can satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a square in a round hole, right?
That's right.
You can't put this other stuff that only God, only Jesus is able to fill. But let me tell you something. Once you have Jesus, I mean, you truly have Jesus. People say they have the Lord. They say he's their co-pilot. You know, they wear a cross runner. And I'm not against any of those. Yeah, you know, you wear a cross, that's fine. But Jesus is more than a Jesus pin on your shirt or your jacket or a tag on your car that says, you know, I love Jesus, mm-hmm. right? When you encounter God and you have a relationship with God and you walk with him and talk with him and abide with him every day, spend time with him, you have a relationship yeah. that's enriching. He begins to fill that vacuum, that hole, that emptiness, that longing for more, and everything that didn't make sense all of a sudden becomes clear.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You start seeing things clearly, and it'll change your life.
Mm-hmm.
It'll change your life. It's so encouraging when you hear this. It's like, wow. It never gets old, does it?
No.
Powerful.
Mm-mm.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And when someone first comes to God and they have such an excitement that they just want to share with everyone, I want to encourage you, listen, maybe you just come to the Lord. Maybe you've been following the Lord for a long time. Share with someone. We want to give you a challenge on VFN Radio. Go ahead and share. Tell someone. Tell your neighbor. Tell a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Tell somebody that doesn't know, listen, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. And can I just tell you my story? Can I tell you how I met him?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a personal story. If you've met the Lord, we have written down a couple of our stories, and you can go to meetmyfather.org. We haven't shared everything, but my goodness, we've shared a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to share with you that we're just simple, regular people that are broken and messed up without Jesus Christ, and how we found the Lord and how we came to meet him as our own personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, once you've encountered God, there's no way to go. I mean, he'll revolutionize your life.
That's right.
He'll revolutionize your life. Well, Steve, I know that you have been on a journey.
Yeah.
You have been.
Oh, yeah.
You've been north, east, west. You've been all over the place, man.
Yeah.
And it's so good to see you in the Emerald Coast. Interesting. You and I were on the northeast together, and now we're in the south together. Yeah. And
just following God.
Just following God.
Yeah.
Talk to us, man. Talk to us about this journey you've been in and the blessing of obedience.
Well, that's one thing that through this journey, God has definitely made known to me, and just a learned lesson was to the level of your obedience, you're going to see the level of his blessing and just him.
Well, say that again.
To the if God calls you out, John G. likes this. If God calls you out, step out in bold obedience and he'll meet you there every time.
Mm-hmm.
Just step out.
But to the level?
To the level of your obedience, you will see the level of God's blessing.
Wow.
The level of God's favor. And I was I moved up to Pittsburgh about 6 months ago. It's where God told me to go. I just wanted to just share my heart and just like you're saying, just tell whoever about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, pretty much just about 2 months ago, God just said, you're supposed to be back. Be back on the Gulf Coast. And it was just... And I just asked God, okay, God, speak to me. I need you to speak clearly to me. And God gave me a couple dreams. And at the same time, I just said, okay, God, in order for me to get to there from here, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I was in a lease. I was renting a place. I had just started a new job a couple months ago. And I was like, okay, how do I do this? And God just gave me the wisdom of just like writing it out and believing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mountains.
Mm.
God just says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go and it'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally what he did, down to the fact of I was in communications with my landlord multiple times. And when I told my landlord about it, he's like, well, you need to give me at least 60 days notice.
Because you had a lease, right?
Because I had a lease.
Right.
To basically leave my lease, 2 months separation fee, and then I would have had to pay my lease until the end of my contract.
Isn't it
even when somebody moved in?
Isn't it interesting that oftentimes people think, well, I'll obey the Lord as long as everything is, it's easy. Obviously, Lord, this is not a...
And I can figure it out.
Yeah, but figure it out. Obviously, Lord, this is not something that I can do, right? Yeah. It's like, no, that doesn't work that way, but,
And what's awesome is I've heard many times before God has said to me, just get out in the deep, because if you're staying in the kiddie pool or if you're out on the shore, where everything's comfortable to you, that's not where you're going to see God.
Yeah.
But when God told me that I needed to be here, it was just like this in my mind, it's impossible. But God even said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Mm.
And I basically gave my landlord 2 weeks. And said, I got to go.
Yeah.
And through the favor of the Lord, God provided me as far as having someone to take over my lease and minimized not having to pay my lease and was able to transfer and came down to the Gulf Coast. And not only was I able to leave the present job I had up in Pittsburgh, but then I came and God gave me back the same job down on the Gulf Coast. And I didn't miss a day's worth of work.
We'll talk about that. I mean, you just blew by a
yeah, 10,000 miracles, 10, all in that one
miracles
statement.
In oh, one statement, man. I mean, talk to us here. You had a very good job where you where you're at in the Northeast.
Yes. Well, it's still at the same company,
right?
And just transferring,
right?
So, talking to my employer, and I told them, and initially I thought I was going to another city, and just by the grace of God, the HR representative, like my boss, never got it to the HR. So one transfer never like followed through, and when I told them, I said, okay, this is where I need to go. I need to go to the Gulf Coast. I had initially told my immediate boss, and he said, well, when do you need to go?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, no later than 90 days. And the powerful thing about that
now,
was...
Now, is that something that happens all the time? Did you have great faith for that, to believe for that? Does that happen?
it's amazing. It was so God. At first, like, my head was so wrapped around, like, making sure that I got a... I was in line for a promotion to be able to, like, up and coming.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, I need to be there. So promotion or not, I need to be where God's called me to be. That's definitely more important.
Right.
And like they do transfers, but usually it takes a considerable amount of time. And when I told my boss this and I said, I have to be there no later than 90 days. He's like, well, there's no reason why we couldn't get you there in 45. Cut my time in half of what I was believing God for. And what was powerful about it though, is that conversation took place March 27th, 2013. I got to the Gulf Coast, arrived where I was called to be May 11th, 2013.
Wow.
How many days is that?
Day 45 from that conversation.
Wait a second. So God uses your supervisors to prophetically speak and say, I can do it in 45 days.
He did it in 45 days. To the day.
And God did it on 45
to the day. And it was just powerful because like we've talked about, you know, in the storm, God's going to deliver you. And it's just like when God has called you to go, and then it wasn't necessarily a storm, but it's just if God is telling you to go somewhere, regardless of what you see, what you understand, see what you believe. Stop believing what you're seeing and just believe God. Just believe God to move the mountains and just take him at his word.
Because
if God called you to be somewhere, it's not your idea.
That's right.
That's right.
It is so not your idea. And just watch what God's going to do because that's when he shows off.
Well, that's when you really find out who's Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you really find out who's Lord is when God gives you something to do or tells you what he wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Is he Lord, boss, ruler of my life, or am I? You know, and you know what? We submit ourselves to him and to his ways and to his leading.
Mm-hmm.
And we just say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
You know, what do you say when God wants you to do something? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's obedience. Yes. But that's how God sees love, is if you just respond to him. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, is that we're hearing testimonies of people crying out to God and saying, God, I need you to do this. I'm asking you to do this. And God responds. And it's the same thing. It goes back and forth, a relationship that God calls us to do things. And it's not like, well, you know, okay, God, let me pencil you in. Like, no, it's he wants it done.
Yeah.
Because he's asking you.
That's right. And the thing is that, you know, God doesn't have to use us. He doesn't have to, you know, convince us to do something. I think about Reinhard Bonnke, and he was so honored, you know, that God would call him to do a special work. And he says, Lord, I'm so honored. And God says, Reinhard, you were my third choice. The other two passed me up.
Yeah.
And the thing is that God can pass you up.
Yeah.
The fact that he's talking with you and dealing with you, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Mm-hmm. We just need to respond.
That's right.
And do what Steve did. He just responded to the Lord. And God blessed his obedience.
Because he gets the glory.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire. Just let us know what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program that we send out to you in your email an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It will come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light of the world. Joining with me is Pat and Steve. Oh, Steve, I like that move there.
Breaking it down, man. Breaking it down.
Cute.
I didn't know he had them skills to pay the bills. I tell you, that's that Pittsburgh getting on him.
Uh-oh.
P-Burg, huh?
I know.
Uh-oh.
Steel City.
Well, Steve, we're talking about the miracles
right.
of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we're talking about, the blessing of obedience.
Yeah.
You know, there's blessings that a lot of people just simply do not receive because
mm-hmm.
they don't obey what God tells them to do. Imagine how that works, you know? No blessing, no obedience, no blessing
right,
there.
Exactly.
Hello? You know, it's just very easy to do.
That's right.
But God wants not only for us to do something, but he's so good that he'll reward us when we obey him, when we do what he tells us to do.
That's right.
And that's really how we show him that we love him. Yeah. You know, that's how we show him how we love him. But I know that you were looking at this mountain of even money, like stuff that's going to cost you expenses, and what did God do for you in the midst of you responding to him?
Well, like I was saying, as far as having to leave my lease at the time, because if I would not have found another renter to come in and take over the lease, I would have been responsible for the whole remaining of the contract.
Yeah.
And taking consideration that, as well as also moving down, having to find another house, trying to find a temporary place to live while mm-hmm. waiting for my transfer to go through, when it all came down to it, bottom line, God saved me about $6,000.
Wow.
$6,000.
Yeah. Wow.
It saved me $6,000 from a 90-day transfer to 45-day transfer, provided me a job, provided me a house.
Right.
A nice house.
A nice house.
I've seen that house. A nice house.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, when I got here, I mean, to this day, it's just like, I'm still waiting for that moment to realize I'm here, because mm-hmm. I was just simply trying to keep up with God and just watch what God was doing.
And it was such a smooth transition. That's the mm-hmm. whole thing. People look at it and look at things in the natural, and like you were talking earlier, staying in their head, and they think, how can this happen? How can I get a transfer? How can I break a lease without being penalized? How can I come up with, you know, these resources and move into a new place and then start a new job seamlessly? I mean, I guess if you had gobs of just mm-hmm. money or whatever, you know, and that's a quick thing that people like to do. They just like to let money be the answer to everything. And right, you know, money's not the answer to everything. You know, God is the answer to everything.
Yeah.
But oftentimes people just stop in the middle of what God tells them to do. They figure if they can't figure it out in their own brain, then obviously
It can't be God.
I didn't hear correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a potential way that they can suffer a loss, then that can't be God. And it's like, just obey him.
And that was so powerful for me too, because it was just like, I was like you were saying before, God was just revealing my own heart to me. Because when God first said that to me, it was just like I was worshiping a promotion. And it was just like, okay, God, well, as soon as I get this promotion, I'll be there. And it was just like, Lord, I repent for that.
Yeah.
Because, and it was just like, the question is, okay, do you want a job? Do you want a house? Do you want some furniture? Do you want, or do you just want to obey where I've called you to be, knowing that where I've called you to be is better than where you currently are?
Mm.
And all I did was, like I said, wrote it out, what I believed God to do, and started packing boxes. And I had no idea how this was going to happen. I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to start moving. And just to see the snowball of God respond to me responding to his word.
Yeah.
That's it.
And really, and then, you know, appreciate your honesty and your humility. You said, you know, you just want to get it right with God.
Yeah.
And sometimes that'll happen to us. Sometimes we will, you know, miss away or get off a path a little bit, and we'll have, you know, something else going on that's not God. But if we just cry out to him and say, God, you know, I see the error of my ways. This was wrong. This wasn't right. Lord, you know, please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it right. I want to get where I need to be. God's just so loving and so good. He'll steer it around. He'll put you right back exactly where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a blessing in obedience.
It's all God. It's all God.
There is a blessing in obedience, and there's also a curse in disobedience. You may be wondering why things are not working right. You know, how can God bless you in your situation? You think about it. You know, if I'm amazed at some who think that God can bless a bad situation. You know, that relationship's not going to work if it's not set up on God's principles mm-hmm. and the way God mm-hmm. wants you to live. That job, if you're not doing things with integrity and doing the right way, how can God bless you? You know, if God's going to bless you when you do things his way, how he instructs, how he guides, that's where the blessing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just responding to him. God, it's just responding to him, because that's when God's waiting for us to see how it's our actions that are going to back up what we're proclaiming to say with our mouth. And it's just like, we can say that he's Lord, but the question is, what does your life say?
Come on now.
Does your life say that he's Lord, or does your life say that, you know, everything else is God?
Yeah. Well, it's when the rubber hits the road, you know, yes, Jesus, yes, yes, I'm with you. And I think about the disciples as well.
Well, I don't see you standing next to me.
Yeah. I got your back way back.
Yeah, right. You know?
Eat my flesh, drink my blood.
That's kind of hard teaching. I don't know about that one.
I was with you, Lord. I was with mm-hmm. you until you asked me to give up my promotion. I was with you until you mm-hmm. told me to sacrifice my son mm-hmm. on Mount Moriah. I was with you until you told me to leave my mother and my father and come follow me, and I'll make you a fishers of men. I was with you until you said, you know, come with me out into the deep waters and walk. You know, I was mm-hmm. with you until.
Yeah.
And they don't see the miracle.
Right.
Then they wonder why God stopped moving.
Listen, Peter got out the boat. They talk about him sinking, but he was the one that got out.
He's the only one that got out.
Yeah.
And he began to walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
You don't learn how to walk on water by staying in the boat.
Yeah.
That course is taught on the water. That course is taught by the Holy Ghost and God, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see the place of miracles, and you want to see the place of blessings, and you want to see God do extraordinary things, that's extraordinary,
yeah.
you need to obey him. You need to hear him. That's important. You need to abide. Spend time with the Lord daily. And if you don't know how to abide, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and request this plan. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's free. We've heard so many testimonies of people that are hearing God's voice for the very first time.
Praise God.
And they're spending time with God yeah. daily, reading his word, hearing what God is saying, writing mm-hmm. it down. And guess what? They're obeying, putting into action, responding to the Lord. And they're seeing God show up in their situation.
Amen.
They're seeing God show up in their life, in their family, in their finances, in their ministry, in their marriage, in their children's life. Let me tell you something. He who kneels before God can stand up to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He who spends time with the Lord is going to have marching orders for the day.
Amen.
It's your vision for the day. If you don't have a vision, you're at the mercy of a person or a demon that has one, right?
That's right.
But if you spend time with the Lord and you hear him and you honor that word and you put that word into practice, you're going to see God respond and move powerfully and move mountains on your behalf. Because just like John G. Lake, he's just looking for one man. God's just looking for one man, one woman who's going to say, God, I just believe what's in your word. Like Franklin Graham said, I believe the Bible to be the truth from cover to cover.
That's right.
And God is looking for men and women who believe God's word to be the truth from cover to cover. It's going to take God at his word, believe God, step out and do what God's called them to do, instructed them to do.
That's right. Beautiful.
Well, you know, it's so important what happens in our heart. Oftentimes people have a disconnect about what's going on in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 4:23 tells us to, above all else, above everything that's going on, above all else, to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, the wellspring, the source of life. And in Matthew 15, really interesting, the Pharisees were hanging around, and they came to Jesus in Jerusalem, and they asked him, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Well, why do they do that? See, the Pharisees at the time were focused on traditions. They were focused mm-hmm. on religion. They weren't focused on relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're concerned about, I mean, can you imagine Jesus? Really? Did you just really ask me why my disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? is this the question you want to ask me? You know, right. you want to redo on that one? You know, religion is focusing on the outside while avoiding what's going on the inside. Exactly. And many have settled for an outward life, an outward actions that have an appearance
mm-hmm.
of godliness, that have an appearance of doing and saying the right thing. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus is not looking at your outward actions if they don't match up what's happening on the inside of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening on the outside should match what's happening on the inside. But if there is a discrepancy and all we see is are these outward religious actions, but your heart, it's all about your heart, because that's who you really are. At the core of your being, we're not what we do. It's what's happening in our heart. And in verse 10, Jesus called a crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. Don't focus on what you're eating. I mean, mm-hmm. there's dietary and you can eat stuff and it's healthy and all that. But don't focus on that. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean, but it's what comes out of the mouth that makes him unclean. It's what's coming out. The Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings the good things stored up in him, and the evil man brings the evil things stored up in him.
That's right.
And the question is, what is your heart filled with? What's in there? What is it filled? Because what's in is definitely going to come out. He says, above all else, guard your heart. Protect it. Stand watch. Because let me tell you something. It's going to come out. And he goes on to say in verse 18, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean. It's not about this outward stuff. It's not about hands and religious experiences. Listen, it's what's going on in your heart. It's what's going on in your thought life. It's what's going on in the inner man. God doesn't, you know, we can't get it twisted.
All right.
We can't get it twisted to think that religious behavior is going to save us. It didn't save the Pharisees. And they were the most religious, quote-unquote, people of the day. They had the phylacteries, and they had the robes, and they were the ones that were leading everything in the temple. Even Jesus said, listen, do what they say, but definitely don't do what they do.
Exactly.
They're saying the right stuff, but their doo-doo, their actions, are not matching up what's going on the inside with what they're saying. And it's important for us to have a heart check, you know? Yeah. You need to check the heart. The heart matters of the heart, however way you want to say it, but you got to really understand that that's exactly what the Lord is looking at. You know, he talks about the Pharisees taking care of the outside of the cup, but the Lord is looking at the inside of the cup, and the Lord is so high. When he looks down, he's not looking on the outside. All he sees is what's on the inside.
Yeah.
He's not looking at the little decorations and all the things that you know.
All the fronts.
The fronts and all the stuff that you hooked up there.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm looking on the inside.
Yeah.
And we can start today. We can start today to say, you know, Lord, I want to be pure in my heart before you. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to live one more day going through these rehearsals and this form of godliness and putting up a show. God, I want to know you in my inmost being. I want to know you at the core of my heart, and I want the meditations of my heart to be pleasing to you.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.